You may be seated, and if you would turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, my subject this morning, put a demand on the anointing. Put a demand on the anointing. It's in the atmosphere of faith and expectation that miracles are performed. And I want you to watch this principle as it unfolds in my sermon today. I said it's in the atmosphere of faith and expectation that miracles happen. Now, in my text, Jesus, he's been up in the mountains. He's been praying all night. He's anointed. And he and his disciples, they come down to where the people are, just like his presence has come down here today. Look at Luke 6:17. He came down with them and stood in the plains in the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their disease. This multitude, they came to hear Jesus preach. These people, they came to be healed of their diseases. They came with expectation. They came expecting to meet the Master and get a miracle. Did you come to church like that today? Look at verse 18. They that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. So those that were healed of their disease, and then those that had unclean spirits, they were healed. Now look at verse 19. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and healed them all. Hallelujah. Jesus met every, I want you to listen close to me now. Jesus met every need of every person there, and these people, they came to hear the word preach. He is the word, by the way. Hallelujah. They came to be healed of their disease. The demon possessed came to be delivered, and they were healed. And praise God, Jesus was in the place, and they all came with expectation. Did you just come to sit in the church today, or did you come expecting a miracle from God? We've been worshiping him, and we've got his presence in this place. And when you get into the presence of God, miracle begin to show up. And I want to tell you in miracle territory this morning. My subject, put a demand on the anointing. Let us pray. Brother Philip, come pray for me, brother, that God will give me that anointing that comes from the glory world. Hallelujah.
Father God, today we thank you for the privilege of being here. Thank you for your presence. Your word tells us where two or three are gathered, you're there too. Thank you, Lord, today for visiting with us. We pray that you would give our pastor that anointing today that makes preaching easy. I pray that you would bless him with the words that we need to hear. I pray that you would open our hearts, our minds, give us anointing to hear and to receive, and wills that are anointed to act upon your word this day. For it's in Jesus, your son's name, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, my brother. Hallelujah. This could be your miracle moment. Hallelujah. I want you to notice that these people put a demand on the anointing that was in Jesus. They came to hear him preach. They came to be healed of their disease. Some were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. The whole multitude sought to touch him because he was anointed. There was power flowing out of Jesus, and the crowd, they came that day to stake their claim. I think many times we come and we leave like we came simply because we just don't put a demand on the anointing. But the key to miracles and the key to be every need that you have being met is to understand how to tap into the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The word demands means to ask for boldly or to ask for urgently. Hallelujah. It means to stake a claim that I see in that man there's something. I feel the presence of God, and I'm going to stake my claim. I'm getting my miracle. I'm going to tap into that resource. These people tapped into the supply that was in Jesus, and that's what we must do if we're going to experience the miracle working power of God. Even the Apostle Paul, the great apostle, he knew this. Look at Philippians 1:19. Listen to what he said. He said, I know that this supply shall turn to my salvation. Look at this, through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I know that my need is going to be met through your prayers and the supply of the Holy Ghost that's in you. He knew that there was a corporate anointing, and when the church came together, that they were to flow in the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And Paul said, if you'll get together like that and pray for me, I know that's a supply in you that's going to meet my need. Hallelujah. He said, pray for me. And when you do, God is going to meet my need, and God is going to use you. I heard a man say that God doesn't use you. I heard him say, I hear religions talk like it all the time. Said, God doesn't need you. And I said, yes, he does. You need God, and God needs you. God has a church down here, and God's not going to send angels to preach. God's not going to come down again. Jesus, he came and shed his blood on the cross, and when he comes back, he's coming back in power and glory. He left a church down here. He said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. I'm going to tell you, you're one in a million. You are somebody. You're hand selected by God, and God wants to use you to do his work. Go and praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, we need to stir up the gifts of the Spirit that are within us. But if there's no demand placed on the anointing, then nothing happens. Let me say that again. If there is no demand placed on the anointing, nothing happens. If I'm preaching and the anointing is on me, it's your responsibility to tap into that anointing. You can be saved, you can be healed, you can be delivered while I'm preaching or while someone is singing under the anointing. The anointing destroys the yoke. The anointing, hallelujah, is what we need. But you've got to place a demand on that anointing when the anointing shows up. That's what the multitude did in my text. The whole multitude sought to touch Jesus because he was anointed. And you've got to stake your claim when the anointing is flowing. And if you ever learn that, you'll be the one getting miracles while everybody else is just filling a seat and crowding around. But if you ever learn to tap into the anointing, you can get your miracle. If they had not sought to touch him, they would not have gotten a miracle. See, the key is to put a demand on the anointing that's in Jesus. The anointing, it flows through me, but he's the anointed one. And he left a church here, and he left pastors that are anointed. And they know when they're anointed, and you know when they're anointed, because miracles and signs and wonders and salvations and deliverances and freedom and joy, the miracle working power of God shows up. Go and praise him that you're anointed. God said, you have an anointing from the Holy Ghost. You just need to realize who you are. Hallelujah. See, there's never been a day of miracles. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Hallelujah. There's never been a day of miracles. You heard me say it 100 times. There is maybe thousands as the God of miracles. Hallelujah. And when the miracle working power of God is flowing, that's the time to tap into the anointing. You know, I heard one of my favorite Bible teachers tell that God did more miracles outside the church than he did inside the church. And he listed the reason was because God was showing unbelievers who Jesus was. Well, I've seen a lot of miracles, and many of them that people I prayed for, it happened outside the church. But the Bible says healing is the children's bread. I said the Bible says healing is the children's bread. The Bible says forget not all his benefits. He forgives all our sin. He heals all our disease. God will save the sinner. God will heal the sinner. But the church has a blood covenant. I want to tell you something. You are bought with a price. You belong to Jesus, spirit, soul, and body. And God will not withhold anything from his children that will obey him and put a demand on the anointing of Jesus Christ. Listen to me. If there is no demand, there is no supply. That's how it works in the natural world, and that's how it works in the spiritual world. If there is no demand for something, there will be no supply. Amen. It's called the law of supply and demand. I studied it when I was in school, and I know it works. That if there's no demand, there is no supply. You let there be no demand for refrigerators, nobody would ever make one. You let there be no demand for an automobile, there would never be another one. If there is no demand, there is no supply. If there's no demand for drugs, there will be no drug suppliers. If there's no demand for tobacco, there will be no tobacco suppliers. If there's no demand for Juul, electronic cigarettes, guess what? There would be no supply, and we wouldn't have the problems we're having in our culture. What a crazy thing it is to take something like liquor and nicotine and tobacco products and electronic cigarettes and put them into your body. You've got one body, and your body is the temple of the living God. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your your body to God a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. I tell you, there's so much power in the blood. You don't have to drag cigarettes around. You don't have to drag nicotine around. You don't have to go back into clubs. You don't have to go in the pool halls and shoot pool. I love to shoot pool, shoot all the pool I want, but I don't go to the pool hall. I used to drink liquor. I drink all the liquor I want, but I don't drink liquor anymore. I used to love Coors beer. I don't drink Coors beer. I don't want it anymore. There's no demand for me. Hallelujah. I just want Jesus. I want more of Jesus. And if you ever get touched by that nail-scarred hand, praise God, that ought to be your testimony. I want more of Jesus. I'm laying aside every weight and every sin that would easily beset me. I'm running. I'm running my race with patience. I'm looking unto Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of my faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Here's where I want you to see him. He's set down at the right hand of his majesty on high, Lord and high priest of a new covenant, a better covenant that he cut with his own precious blood. Go on and praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You just got to decide. Hallelujah. I'm going to tap in. Hallelujah. It's all according to supply and demand. The more that a church expects, the more that that church will put a demand on the anointing. Hallelujah. And the more the church will experience. You got to decide, I'm just not going to be here among the crowd. I've come to touch the anointed. I'm here to get something from God. Hallelujah. And the more church does that, the more that church will experience the glory of God. It's in the atmosphere of expectation that God does his miracles. And the moment there's a demand placed on that anointing, I promise you something, the supply will show up. How many know what I'm talking about? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Go on, praise him. Amen. That supply will show up. Nothing comes down until something goes up. I said nothing comes down until something goes up. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus is going to come and fight for me. I've learned, praise God, if I'll just praise him, if I'll raise a hallelujah, if I'll place a demand on the anointing will show up. Go on and praise him. Hallelujah. Hoshaya. Romoko shanda the Bahaya. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In the atmosphere of expectation that God does his miracles. You know, I preached in some churches where there's no demand for the anointing. People, they just sit there. I tell you, that's a hard atmosphere to preach in. Then I've gone to churches where there's such an anointing that they pull such a demand in that people for the need of needing God. They pull the anointing out of me. Hallelujah. That's real Pentecostal worship. That's when the pulpit and the pew, they begin to flow together. And I get my pint, and I get your pint, and everybody else's pint. Pretty soon, the anointing of the river of God is just flowing all through the sanctuary. And it's in that atmosphere that people reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. Hallelujah. See, the pulpit and the pew must flow together. And they send up glories and hallelujahs and thank you, Jesus. And all of a sudden, the anointing is on the singers. All of a sudden, the anointing is on the worshipers. All of a sudden, the anointing comes down on the preacher. And it pulls that preach out of the preacher, and it pulls the praise out of the congregation. And all of a sudden, we just go up into the spirit world, and we're seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. And the key is, you don't need some great preacher in the pulpit. The key is that must be a demand placed on the anointing, and the supply of the Spirit will come. Hallelujah. We have a supply of the Spirit here, and God wants someone to stake their claim and place a demand on the anointing. Glory to God. Now, let me tell you how religion talks. I hear it all the time, but I don't hear that in my Bible. Well, Pastor, I'm just waiting for something to happen. In that case, you're going to be waiting a long time for something to happen. Remember blind Bartimaeus on the roadside begging? Jesus came by, and Bartimaeus cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the Bible says, the crowd rebuked him, said, be quiet, you old beggar. Don't you know that's Jesus of Nazareth? That was a religious spirit. But this man knew the anointing was passing by. Hallelujah. Woo! And the Bible says he cried a little louder. Jesus, that son of David, have mercy on me. And his faith touched Jesus. It was faith. And the fact he placed the demand on the anointing that was in Jesus. And when we did, Jesus stopped and he stood still. He heard his faith, the cry of faith. Hallelujah. He said, bring him to me. Hallelujah. Bring him to me. As soon as they brought him to Jesus, he touched him and that blind man's eyes popped wide open. Hallelujah. See, he knew that was the supply of the anointing in Jesus. He said, I'm not going to miss my miracle moment. The thing that stopped Jesus was the man's faith. Does your faith stop Jesus? I believe Jesus would have kept on walking. And he would never paid him any attention if he had not put a demand on the anointing. You have not because you ask not. He said, you shall seek me and find me. You will find me, God said, when you search for me with all your heart. Believe, 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 only believe, and you will see the glory of God. I can promise you that because I got word for it. I tell you what, you can do your own little thing and not serve the king and you'll lose your anointing. I said, if you don't do what God sent you to do, I'm preaching to somebody. You better listen to me. If you don't do what God calls you to do in his service, I tell you what, you will lose the anointing. He might give your gift to somebody you never expected to get that gift. Let me go and preach. Hallelujah. Jesus announced his mission 2,000 years ago when he walked into Nazareth. Look at what he said. Luke 4:18. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. You see that? He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus said, I am come to announce jubilee. If you are bound, if you owe something, I'm paying that debt in full. Hallelujah. Go on and praise him. Jesus was saying, there's a supply in me. Go on, praise him. Jesus said, there is a supply in me, but you got to put a demand on that anointing. Hallelujah. See, I'm anointed to preach. I'm sent to preach. I'm here to preach deliverance, recovering of sight to the blind. I'm ready to release those that are oppressed in the name of Jesus. I know when I sense the anointing, I hear a little whisper now. And I'm seeing God move in some miraculous ways now. Jesus said to that crowd, he said, there's a supply in me. He said, so stake your claim. Now, I want you to notice what happened when Jesus announced his mission in his own hometown. Even though the anointing was on him, even though there was a supply, a reservoir of the anointing in him, the supply of healing, there was a supply of deliverance, there was a supply of whatever those people needed. He said, I'm the anointed one. But in his own hometown, he could do no mighty works there. Isn't that something? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he walks into Nazareth and he said, I am anointed, people. I'm the anointed one. The anointing is in me. And if you'll put a demand on that anointing, he said, if you're blind, you'll see. He said, if you're brokenhearted, you'll be healed. He said, if you're bound, then you'll be set free and released from that prison. He said, I don't care what the need is, whatever you have, Jesus said, if you will put a demand on the anointing is in me, that you can get what you need from God. And the Bible says that that crowd would not do it. And because of that, he couldn't do no mighty works there. He only healed a few sick folk. Do you remember the woman with the issue of blood? She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And she was weak. She had spent everything she had on doctors. Some people say, oh, I just can't get to the altar. I just can't get up there. You don't know my problem. This woman, she was emaciated. I can just see her trembling. And there's a great crowd around Jesus. She said, if I can just get to the hem, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I can just get through the, she might have crawled, I don't know. But I know one thing, to touch the hem, you got to get down pretty low. I said you got to get down pretty low. If you got down so low yet that you know all I need is Jesus, I've got to touch Jesus. Oh my God. She comes through the crowd and she's crawling and people all around Jesus and she touched the hem. She knew what Malachi said, the Son of God, man shall arise with healing in his wings. And she touched that and she was made whole. And Jesus said, who touched me? Who touched me? Peter said, oh, in the crowd, everybody's touching you, Jesus. He said, oh, no, somebody touched me. That was a different faith. I felt virtue. I felt the anointing flow out of me. Somebody touch me. Glory to God. Go on and touch him. Touch him in the name of Jesus. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You got to reach out. You got to activate your faith if you expect to receive. That comes a point in everybody's life when you get into his presence that you've got to release your faith. And when you do that, you will draw out the anointing that destroys the yoke. You got to reach out to God. And you got to say, I'm coming to get something from God. And I'm not leaving. And I come to get it, and I'm going to get it now. Hallelujah. Now, when you get a faith like that, you'll get it. Faith is always now. So turn your faith loose. And when you do, there's a supply of anointing. Jesus said, if you'll turn it loose in my direction, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of his faith. I tell people, I said, don't look at me. I'm just the messenger. The anointing comes from him. And when you get your miracle, I will pray the prayer. But I promise you one thing. He's the one that saves. He's the one that delivers. He's the one that heals. He's the one that recreates. He's the miracle worker. Go on, praise Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Hallelujah. Faith is always now. Now, I want you to watch this principle in Acts chapter 5. Acts 5 and 14. Look at this. And the believers were the more added to the Lord. This is after the day of Pentecost. Multitudes of men and women, insomuch that they brought the sick into the street and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Now, this is Peter passing by. He's anointed. Hallelujah. Woo! Look at verse 16. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them vexed with unclean spirits. And they were healed, every one. This is Peter. These people placed a demand on the anointing that was in Simon Peter. And so much that they said, we'll just lay him out in the street. And if his shadow just passes by and touches them, they'll be made whole. We know he's anointed. Oh, we've seen signs and wonders. We know that he's got a call from God. And we're going to just tap into what God is doing. And if we just put him out in the street and Peter walks by, his shadow, that's apostolic anointing. His shadow will heal them. Hallelujah. Now, look at Mark chapter 2. Jesus was at Capernaum. Now, he's preaching, and the house is filled. I want you to watch this principle. Do you know why the house was filled? The house was filled because the people were there with expectation. They knew that Jesus had been healing people. Now he couldn't heal in his own hometown. He's in the church. He can't heal anybody because they wouldn't place a demand on the anointing. He goes down to Capernaum, goes into a house, and the people heard that Jesus is there, and they fill the house up, glory to God, and they came with expectation. It was so full, that house was, that nobody could get in. And that's a preacher's dream. And the Bible says that while Jesus talked, there were four men up on the roof, and they were tearing the roof off that place. Now, that's great faith, because it was not their roof. And they got hammers up there. Jesus is down here preaching, and they're ripping the roof off of that place and knocking a 6-foot hole in this man's roof. And they're letting Jesus down, letting this man down in the presence of Jesus. And the Bible says Jesus looked up and saw their faith. He saw the faith of the four men that had brought him and tore the roof off. But I tell you what, the man had to use his own faith. And I said it earlier today that Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. Rise, take up your bed and walk. And that man, he did what Jesus said. He placed a demand on that anointing. He came in with his back on his bed. He went out with his bed on his back. Hallelujah, glory, hallelujah, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. I come to praise the Lord. Can you imagine that miracle? People getting a miracle from God like that. Hallelujah. You know, this man staked his claim. He put a demand on the anointing. Now, if those men had not come there bringing this man expecting a miracle, that would be no miracle. We say, well, I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting on God. And when he's ready, he'll heal me. Hogwash. That's religion talking. You're not waiting on God. God is waiting on you. 2,000 years ago, they nailed my Savior to the cross. And God, He had to turn His head away because He was made sin with our sin. But before that, He went to the whipping post and they beat Him beyond human recognition. And they tore His back up like a plow. And you couldn't even recognize the man. But he was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we're healed. And that's a supply of the Spirit here. And if you'll place a demand on that anointing, praise God, you can get your miracle. Go on, praise Him. You're not waiting on God. God is waiting on you to place a demand on the anointing. Glory to God. We serve the El Shaddai. I love that word. God more than enough. The supply is not limited. And God is not about to run out of blessing. Well, I'm just so thankful that, you know, that man, he doesn't have a leg. My leg hurts me, but I'm just thankful to have a leg. I'm thankful to have my leg, too, because he can heal it if it needs healing. Matter of fact, he can put a new leg on that if he wants to. Hallelujah. I tell you, we need to get radical. I mean, we need to get radical. We need to turn our faith loose. God is a God of miracles. And I've been praying and I've been praying. I said, God, I've seen the miracle healing power. I want to move into the miracle creative power that flows from the throne of God. We need the miracle creative power. And guess what? I got two arteries. They're not put there by man. I had open heart surgery. They are creative miracles. God just passed by. The doctors left a scar 12 inches down my chest. Jesus passed by. Woo! Said, with long life will I satisfy you and show you my glory. I go back to the doctor in 30 days, and guess what? The doctor was shocked, and he told my wife. He said, I'm shocked. Said, something happened to that man. Said, his heart has bypassed itself with collateral arteries. We don't need to stent him. We don't need to do anything. He has excellent blood flow. That was in 2009. I went back this year, 2019, to have a nuclear scan. Glory to God. That doctor said, keep on doing what you're doing. Said, your heart's working great. Looks just like it did. Hashai. Come on, Hushalabahandariashatai. Jesus passed by. All he left was a blessing. And when he passes your way, if you're placing a demand on the anointing, he'll leave the blessing. Hallelujah. Look at Mark chapter 6. Mark 6, 56. Whithersoever he entered in the villages or cities or counties, they laid the sick in the street. Now this is Jesus, just like they did for Peter. So they did it first for Jesus. So there are principles. Look for them. Obey them. Walk in them. They laid the sick in the street and brought him, that's the key to miracles, that he might touch, if it were, the board of his garment. As many as touched him were made whole. Some people say, oh, that was a sovereign move of God. Well, if that's the case, why didn't he do it in Nazareth? I said, if it was a sovereign move of God, why didn't he do it in Nazareth, his own hometown? Why didn't he heal every one of them in that city? He healed everybody that was in this city. Why didn't he do it in Nazareth? He only healed a few sick folks. The reason is they put an anointing, a demand on the anointing in one city, and they didn't in the other city. And that's why there's so much sickness in the church. Let me just pastor a little while. That's a supply of the Spirit. But if you don't release your faith, if you don't place a demand on the anointing, you will never receive your miracle. You know, Naaman in the Old Testament, Naaman goes, you're talking about radical faith. A little girl that he had captured told him, I said, I wish you was in Jerusalem down there. He said, because there's a prophet there and he can heal you. And so Naaman, he goes, and the prophet comes out and speaks the word of him, says, I want you to go dip in the muddy Jordan 7 times. Well, he got angry and he got wroth. But look at this man's radical faith. He come all the way from Syria. Some of you watching by live stream, get over here to Westmoreland. Hallelujah. He come all the way from Syria to get his miracle. And he almost missed it. He almost aborted his miracle. But he recovered in his faith. He goes down to the Jordan. He's got a 30-mile drive down there. He gets down there. He said, I'm going to find out if that prophet knew what he's talking about or not. And he dips 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He comes up, nothing's happened. He said, the prophet says 7, so I'll do 7. He goes down one more time. He comes up, glory to God, and he's healed of his leprosy. Go on, praise God. He put a demand on the anointing that was in that prophet. And when he did, he got his miracle. That's a supply of the Spirit, but you got to put a demand on it. See, the problem is not with the anointing. We have the anointing. But you've got to put your faith into action. You've got to do something to activate your faith. God always responds to faith. But if you don't act on the word of God, you will never, 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 never receive your miracle. Unless somebody comes by, gifted by God. I prayed for many sinners and they said, oh, I'm not a Christian. I said, I am. I said, will you let me pray for you? They said, well, I'm not a Christian. I said, I am. And I'm on real good talking terms with God, my Father. I said, will you let me pray for you? And I have prayed for, I don't want to exaggerate, I'm sure it's hundreds, so I get people tell me all the time. And I just pray for them, and they're not even in covenant. And I've seen God heal them, and I've had preachers tell me, God won't heal the sinner. I said, that's not true. I prayed for hundreds and watched God heal. Will God save the lost? Will God save the sinner? Sure he will. He said, forget none of my benefits. I forgive all your sin. I heal all your disease. Glory to God. He healed people that weren't in covenant with him when he was here on this earth. He's a healer. He loves to heal. He's a savior. He loves to save. He's a blesser. He loves to bless. He's the anointed one. Go on, praise him that you're in the family. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you got to release your faith because God always responds to faith. Listen to this. To the blind man, Jesus said, go wash your eyes in the pool of Siloam. To the 10 lepers, Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. To the man who was a lunatic, he said, bring him to me. To the centurion who said, Lord, just speak the word and my servant shall be healed. He said, go your way, your servant lives. To his disciples, when he fed the multitudes with the 2 fish and the 5 loaves, Jesus said, take it and give it to the people. To the man with the withered hand, Jesus said, stretch forth your hand. To the lame man at Capernaum, Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. To Peter when he came to walking on the water, and Peter said, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come. Jesus said, come. Hallelujah. That's what he's saying today. He stepped out on the word, come. He put 1 foot on the sea. He put another foot on the O. He put another foot on the M. He put another foot on the E. And he was walking on the word. They thought he was walking on the water. He's walking on the word. Hallelujah. Go on, praise him. This word is powerful. It's alive. It'll do what God said it's do. It'll bring forth what God said it will bring forth when you tap into the anointing. Glory to God. To the woman caught in adultery. Listen to me now, some of you, new Christian. To the woman caught in adultery, Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. To the men at Lazarus' tomb, Jesus said, roll the stone away. To the impotent man at the pool of Bethesda, Jesus said, rise. To all those that are heavy laden, Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and a heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for my yoke is easy. My burden is light. I just gave you 12 Bible examples of how people released their faith and put a demand on the anointing that was in Jesus. Jesus was always working and teaching people how to release and how to activate their faith. They had to invest in their miracle. It's all paid for, but you invest with it by releasing your faith. Invest in your miracle. Put a demand on anointing. We have some great services here at Westmoreland. The problem is not the anointing. We have the anointing. This place is prayer conditioned. I said it is prayer conditioned. We have a 23-year-old prayer meeting. I've been here 23 years, and for 23 years on Friday night, when we can get here, we've been praying. Hallelujah. And guess what? God has taken notice of it. So the problem is, see, people sit by and say, woo, I got goosebumps. Woo, I feel chills going all over me. The anointing's in that place. I have them tell me that. Listen to me. Some of you never come to the altar. I know some of you can't make it here. You never release your faith and place a demand on the anointing. Don't let anything keep you from this altar. If you can get to this altar. The woman with the issue of blood, blind Bartimaeus, the lame man, every one of them, they all had to release their faith. And there were some people that came to Jesus. I'm reminded of the leper. He said, Jesus, if you want to, you can heal me. And Jesus said, if you will, you can, Jesus. Jesus said, I will. And let that I will be forever settled in heaven. If you want to, Jesus said, that's what I'm here for. I'm anointed. I come to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty to those who approve, to deliver. I've come to preach jubilee. I'm anointed. Hallelujah. The problem is not with the anointing. Listen to me. Come to this altar when you can. Now, I go to churches and they just sit back. And I know I come out of a church sort of like that. And I would wonder, why are those people sitting there talking to one another when I'm down at the altar praying souls into the kingdom? I wasn't even the pastor. I just had a heart of compassion for the broken, crying, dying, sighing, fragmented people that I would see. Why did I have such a compassion? Because that was me at one time. My life was shattered, but I met the Master. And this woman came to Jesus. Three people came, and they worshiped him. And on other occasions, they came to Jesus, and Jesus was moved with compassion. See, it's the compassion of Jesus. Do you ever feel it? Do you ever feel it when you pray for somebody and tears begin to stream out of your eyes? That's his compassion. That's his love. That's his anointing. See, the Holy Ghost is here, and he's here on a mission. He's here to save the lost. He's here to heal the sick. He's here to deliver the depressed. He's here to break poverty off of your life. The Bible says that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. So turn your faith loose. And when you do, and you do all that you can do, guess what? God will do what only God can do. He'll make your dreams come true. I know he will. He'll save your family. I know he will. He'll heal your body. I know he will. He'll supply your every need. I know he will. He'll make your children live right. I know he will. He'll bless you going out and coming in. All you have to do is place a demand on the anointing. Let us stand. Hallelujah. Brother Ray, will you come up, please, and sing that song, Jesus the Healer, whatever mic you use, brother. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes, we're healed. He doesn't want you to leave here sick. He doesn't want you to leave here with those problems that you brought with you today. The anointing is here. Bring your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.
Here's the healer right here. Let's see.
He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. Surely he bore our sorrow, and by his stripes we are healed. Sing it again, Brother Ray. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. Surely he bore our sorrow. Sing that verse, Brother Ray.
On the cross crucified, Jesus suffered and he died, the giver of life was he.
Hallelujah! Glory!
Yes, my Lord was despised and rejected of men. This Jesus of Calvary.
Hallelujah.